In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of your women.
And we're listening to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. We're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, and we are also podcasting on getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your friendly neighborhood radio hosts.
Web-swinging your way through the world of comic books.
Yes. Chris, so that all that sticky stuff that I found on the desk, that was that your web slinger?
That was my webs. Those
right.
were my webs, yeah.
Okay, well, put that thing away.
I really
time.
Should. It packs a lot of punch there.
Yes, it does. Chris, welcome. Welcome. Why would I tell you welcome?
Welcome, Walt.
Welcome.
Welcome to the world of comic books.
Welcome to Wednesday.
Yes.
Today, of course, Chris's and mine's favorite day of the week.
Because it's kind of like, as we've said before, it's like a special little day in the week where we get to find out what's coming out, and it's new comics, and it's just a fun day for us.
Listen, if you're a fan of comics, you're a fan of Wednesday. That's just
absolutely.
That's the way
absolutely.
It goes, right? And obviously you're a fan of this show.
Well, clearly, if you're listening to it, I hope you're a fan of the show. And if you're not, why not?
Right.
It's a great show.
This is one of these shows, really, where the listenership should tell their friends.
Ship. I like the way you said that.
Right. We should have some sort of a referral program.
That's an excellent idea. You know how some radio stations have join the club kind of thing?
Right.
We should have that. We should join the comic book. Comic book club.
It would be like the Kiss Army.
You can be like the. You can be not only can you be a regular nerd. You can be a nerd online.
Yeah.
You can be a virtual nerd.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
all right.
Not that our fans are nerds, because
no, not at all. Nor is there anything wrong with being.
No,
a nerd.
I mean it's a $1 billion a year industry.
It's a healthy hang-up.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Well, we've got new this week, of course, this week with our new comic books. And new this week is brought to you by Spider-Sense Burglar Alarms. Are you tired of people breaking into your house and stealing your prized possessions? Then purchase a Spider-Sense Burglar Alarm today. Guaranteed to let you know of a robbery even before it happens. Don't trust the safety of your family with anything else.
Yes, go with the Spider-Sense Burglar Alarm.
Burglar.
Right. You did fine. You're all right, kid. You did fine, kid.
Spider sense tingling. I'm in trouble.
All right, Chris. Of course, today is Wednesday. The people are flooding into.
I think
they
know that already.
They are. They're flooding into the local comic shop, and they're. But some of the people.
Some of them.
Unfortunately for them.
Yeah.
Some of the people wait to hear what you and I have to say about the new this
oh,
week
come
comics.
On.
Yeah, before they go in. They want to hear what Chris and Walt think of the new stuff coming out this
we
week.
We are informed professionals at
yes,
this.
We are.
So,
yes, we are.
You know, what is our combined knowledge, like, a number of years? Like, I mean, what?
Unfathomable.
30 for you, 30 for me, like 60 years combined, something
yes.
like that?
Yeah, easy.
It's easy.
All right. Now, it being October now, Chris, we are going to divert back to the House of Ideas, leading the charge of new this week comics. We gave DC top billing during the New 52
That's
number
true.
Ones,
That's
right?
True. Yes, we did.
So we'll swing it back to Marvel for now.
I like that idea.
And I want to talk about Alpha Flight Reloaded.
Yeah, so Alpha Flight Reloaded. So
number 5 of 8.
So it is 5 of 8. So this is a series that's been going on for a while. But I just wanted to mention it because it seems like here's a title that no matter what keeps on coming back. You know, it's at number 5 of 8. It's a new another new miniseries, and even though it started in the 80s with John Byrne, and then no matter what, it's a title that just can't be put down. Right?
You're absolutely right. Now the thing I would like to ask is. Does proportionately wise, Does Alpha Flight sell more in Canada proportionally than it does in the United States? Because it's a Canadian.
I would think it probably would, but I don't know for sure.
Right.
I don't know.
Now, does Alpha Flight, another one, like, does. Does Alpha Flight sell better in the gay community?
What?
Well, because North Star,
right? Right, sure, right. Of course. Okay,
you know what I mean? Like, are they targeting? Like, is I don't know.
I don't know if it's a target thing or if it's just like I don't know. I don't know if the gay community would support Alpha Flight any more than it would support any other comic book.
Depending on
how well it's written, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I meant it more along the lines of it's a community that is being recognized and supported through the writing of
it's
comics.
Possible.
Right?
It's possible. I don't know the answer to that.
All right,
it's a very good question.
Alpha Flight 5 of 8, though.
Go
ahead.
Remember, Alpha Flight, of course, was they were all killed off in the Secret War.
Yes,
because the Skrulls came down and basically annihilated them all.
Yes, they did.
And now, of course, we've got Alpha Flight coming back again. So I don't really know if this is supposed to be like some sort of new resurrection series or if it's like a series where they're kind of, you know, told in the past. I have to admit I didn't read the first one, so I don't know. But it looks like it's a pretty neat series.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? You cannot keep a good Canadian superhero dead for long. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
All right, so check out Alpha Flight Reloaded, number 5 of 8. Hopefully you've checked out 1, 2, 3, and 4 of 8 before then, but that is hitting your new this week stand at your local shop today.
Okay.
Going over to DC Comics, part of the New 52, number 2 salvo is Grifter.
Yeah,
Grifter,
so
number 2.
This is interesting. So, you know, part of the New 52, of course, last month we saw Grifter number 1 come out, and now we have, amazingly enough, Grifter number 2
coming
out.
It made it to number 2.
I can't believe it. So Grifter is this, you know, Grifter is like the poor person's version of the Punisher from the Wildstorm universe, which was, of course, swallowed up by the DC universe.
Right, right.
You know, because it was Jim Lee sold out to DC.
No, Jim Lee would never sell out.
Believe it or not, he did.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Because he was, remember, Wildstorm was part of the Image universe, and he sold out to DC. Fair enough. I mean, I'm sure they offered him, you know, truckloads of money for it. And he had the chance to work on titles like Batman and Superman, where he didn't have the chance before.
Right.
So I don't begrudge the guy, don't get me wrong. However, the character of Grifter was sort of created as if this sort of like this, you know, hard-hitting, masked, vigilante type character type guy, and it meant to be like a Punisher wannabe lookalike kind of character, and now he's got his own title, and I just can't believe he actually has his own title, let alone it reaching to number 2.
Well, the thing, remember back in the summer when we were talking about the New 52 and we dissected all 52, the thing with DC, what they couldn't do was just make 52 superheroes.
No, right.
They had to kind of cover the whole gamut and spectrum. They had that, you know, the spooky type of universe. They had the crime type stuff. They had the superhero type stuff. They had all that kind of stuff. Now, and don't forget, I don't think DC ever expected all 52 of these titles to, you know, hit issue 100.
Right. I mean, I think it's that old story, you know, throw enough macaroni against the wall and see what sticks.
Right. And see what sticks. And gauge kind of response to, and you know what, Grifter may lead DC to something else.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Hopefully,
from what I've seen, this is the only title that has that Wildstorm feel to it, right? So, I mean, this can spin off to Voodoo or to any of the other Wildcats titles.
Oh, that voodoo that you do. All right.
Please stop that.
All right. Grifter number 2 at your local comic book shop today. All right. Boom Studios, Chris. Boom Studios.
Yes.
Is Clive Barker's Hellraiser number 6.
Well, I thought this was interesting because, you know, it is October, so it
is
Halloween and all spooky type stuff coming out. And so Boom Studios has released this Clive Barker's Hellraiser comic, and it's up to number 6 now. And this is another, it seems to be another franchise that just, you know, can't be put down.
The
Hellraiser franchise came out years ago, of course, right after the movies came out.
That was a Vertigo thing, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was actually Epic when it first came out.
Oh, right, right, right.
Epic banner from Marvel. And they came up with all kinds of cool Hellraiser comics. They were sort of in a prestige format. They were like, you know, $4.95 or something, like a little bit thicker. So,
right,
you know, you'd have to be a real fan to buy them because it was expensive at the time. But it was interesting because it kind of kept along the lines of the Hellraiser lore, I'll call it, where it made it. They kind of created its own legendary type characters and legends and stories around it. And all a lot of it revolves around that cube, the puzzle cube.
Right.
If you open it up, you
Rubik's cube.
No. It's kind of like that because it's just as hard to open up. But it's kind of like that. You know, it's a cube that you open. If you open it up, you open up the gate, the gates to hell, kind of.
Right.
So,
sort of like a cross between Rubik's cube and a cosmic cube.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's a lot of cubes in the universe.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
Maybe one of them.
Ice cube.
Ice.
Yo.
Anyways, Hellraiser comics coming out, still going strong. Love to see it.
Local comic shops today, Hellraiser number 6 from Boom Studios. And Chris, you and I also like every week to talk about a kid's pick, a pick for the kids.
Yeah, of course.
And today we're going to pick SpongeBob comics number 5.
Yeah, you know what? Have you ever watched a SpongeBob TV show?
I always watch it.
I think it's hilarious. It's
best
hilarious
show on TV.
Hilarious for adults, hilarious for kids. Great show. Completely brilliant. You know, and any show that can
My wife thinks it's the stupidest show she's ever seen, which just is vindication, really, of how great it is.
I know your wife. I like your wife, so I'm not going to say anything about her taste in television shows.
Okay, good. So
all I'm going to say is that any show that has David Hasselhoff as like a surfboard in the movie,
yes,
you know, it can't go wrong.
It can't go wrong. And SpongeBob is quality. And what it comes down to, Chris, is the writing. The writing on this show, and hopefully the writing in the comic, is stellar. It's really good. Great comic timing. You know, I think, you know, probably since – I think the great – personally, I think the greatest character, comic, cartoon character created since Scooby-Doo is probably Patrick.
I agree.
All right.
Well, enough of all this comic book stuff. Let's get to a little bit of comic book stuff, and let's have a musical interlude here. By you know, you and I were talking before the show. You wanted to have a little bit of the old Spider-Man TV show because apparently we don't play enough of it. So
apparently
a little bit of that old jazz typey Spider-Man animated series from way back when.
Hit me. Chris, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Scooby-Doo,
You know, you do look a little bit like the Golden Smog.
Right.
Yeah. Do you remember that character from the Flintstones?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Excellent. Good pick. Great tune. And as always, an excellent segue into industry news.
Of course.
And this week, industry news is brought to you by Eau de Bat Cologne. Do you want cat women and other hardened criminals to find you irresistible? Then try Eau de Bat Cologne from Wayne Industries, keeping vigilantes smelling baddies since 1939.
That's how long the character's been around for now.
Yeah, 1939.
But how long has Eau de Bat Cologne been around for?
Since 1939.
I guess if there's Batman, there's Eau de Bat Cologne.
Right. I think what happened was What happened? I read it once. I read the kind of origin of the Bacalona.
Oh, did you?
And what happened was, after his first mission,
yeah,
he had to chase down a couple of punks.
Well, yeah, that happens, yeah.
And his uniform got all sweaty.
Right.
And then he kind of left it. And then the next day,
he left it for Alfred, and Alfred
right,
was on
vacation.
Right,
and what is that funky smell?
Yeah,
right.
And then
kind of Robin kind of liked the smell.
Yeah, well, and then I heard that basically what Robin did was he kind of rubbed his hands in the old bat suit,
right?
Just rubbed it on his neck,
And Robin scored that night.
From what I hear.
And then the Bat Cologne was born.
Whatever works.
Chris, speaking of whatever works, another great segue is The Walking Dead works.
Yeah, apparently it does. It works very well, and especially it being October.
Right. And what's exciting for the Walking Dead fan base, for everybody that's a zombie fan, and who isn't really?
Sure. Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. This Sunday coming, which is, I don't know, the 17th or 16th of October.
Something like that, yeah.
Is the season premiere on AMC of the new Walking Dead season 2.
Now, this is great because last season, unfortunately, viewers only got 6 episodes of The Walking Dead.
Travesty.
And now they're going to get, I think, 13 episodes.
Yep.
So, understandably, HBO didn't want to, shell
out
enough cash.
No, AMC.
Oh, AMC, right. You're right. Sorry. AMC didn't want to shell out enough cash for a full 13 episodes on something they didn't think would work. Clearly, it worked extremely well. And I was actually talking to somebody on the weekend. They said it was the best show of last year.
Right.
So clearly it's doing very well.
And here's one of those things where obviously AMC, they were talking to the wrong people when they just said they should tap into the knowledge base that comic shops offer.
Absolutely.
Right? And they talked to patrons of comic shops back before they picked how many episodes. They would have picked 13.
Well, and the other thing they should do, they should ask us.
Yes, even better.
Really?
Even better. Ask us, because if we don't know, I don't know who knows.
Exactly.
Right.
I agree.
Hold on,
speaking of Walking Dead, one of our fans, we have a new fan that wrote to us and asked us to be to call out to him today.
Like a shout out?
A shout out. So I told him I would shout out to him, and I just want to give Nathan and Amanda a shout out. They're big listeners of the show. They enjoy the show. And so I said I would shout out to them. And not that I'm referring that they're Walking Dead or anything like that, but I'm just saying.
Right.
They're fans.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Well, Nathan and Amanda, we hope you're snuggled up and warm.
And listening to the show.
And enjoying the show.
Right.
All right. Chris, on a related story. This was here in Southern Ontario, here in Toronto. It was Tuesday morning, yesterday morning, on the set of Resident Evil 5.
So they're still making those.
Right.
That's
number
crazy.
5.
Okay, yep.
Right. On the set. I'm wondering if our friend John Miore, who's been in 78 zombie movies.
He was one in one a couple weekends ago, so I think it's 79 now.
Right.
It was something like Zombies Ate My Mother or something
ridiculous
like that.
Yeah. Part 6.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
We should call him and see if he was there. But Resident Evil 5 on the set, what happened is there were a bunch of actors on a platform. The platform collapsed. They all fell like a story and a half. And there were, thankfully, there's no life-threatening injuries and stuff like that. But there were some broken limbs.
Yeah.
There were some things. But if you can find any kind of comedy, and if there's any comedy, Chris and I will dig it out.
Not that, zombies falling around and getting, trashed isn't funny enough.
No, not at all. But picture this. Picture the scenario here to the 911 call.
Yeah.
And the ambulance driver's coming up. And so, I'm an ambulance driver. I go, holy Christ, let's get in there. Jesus.
Because that's what ambulance drivers
right,
talk about.
Yeah, that's what they talk
about.
Well, they're spitting their tobacco and stuff, right? So you walk in there, and there's a guy's entrails, falling out of his stomach. Another guy's half his head is blown off.
Right.
And he's like, oh, my God.
And
call for backup.
And then they're still moving.
And they're still moving.
Help me.
Yeah. Help me.
Yeah. The guy's ribs are coming out of his chest.
Yeah. So I can just, that guy, the poor guy, probably traumatic for the guy.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure they have stories to tell.
They have to take showers before they actually get treated or something, really. Because where are the wounds? How do
you know
what's real and what's not?
I know. Yeah. So it's like, okay, where does it hurt? It's like.
Doctors, it always hurts when I do this.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember that old Rodney line? My doctor Vinny Boomba, he goes, he Well, and for Canadian listeners in the States, you have to pay for your own health care, right?
Right.
It's like, yeah, the doctor, he put his hand on my wallet. He said, cough.
All right. Hey, hey-o.
Hey-o.
Well, let's keep things going here.
Yeah, doctor, doctor told me, Henny Youngman joke. Doctor told me I had 6 months to live. Couldn't pay my bill. He gave me another 6 months.
Bum-bump.
Ba-dum-bum.
Hey, if any of our listeners have any better Honey Youngman jokes, right. Please write to us and let us know, because I'm really getting tired of these ones that Walt keeps on telling me every year.
Take my wife.
Please.
Please. Yes. All right. All right. Chris, let's move on. Okay. This, you know, I want to talk about the September sales of monthly comic books.
Right. So this is crazy. So, of course, September had the new 52, and of course we've got DC was the powerhouse of the
powerhouse.
Of September. This is unheard of, really. You know, I don't want to, you know, Walt will go into it a little bit more, but really, of the top 10 monthly titles that have come out in September, eight of them are in the DC, from the DC publisher, which is unheard of. Usually, it's the other way around. Usually, Marvel reigns the top 10,
mm-hmm.
And now we've got DC reigning the top 10.
Right, including the top 7. All top 7 titles are DC
yeah.
properties.
So,
what I found interesting is over on the DC side, you know, the juggernaut for DC, the powerhouse for DC, that the DC property that's the property of properties is Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
All four of his titles are in the top 10.
Right.
You got Detective. You got absolutely Batman was number one.
Batman number one. Yeah.
Then you have Detective.
Yep.
Then you have Batman the Dark Knight. And then you have Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, so Batman is just the gift that keeps on giving.
I hear Batman's a neat character. I've never read anything by him.
Yeah, he's a, you know, yeah, no, you should.
I really should.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Oddly enough, there's a little bit of a segue here. Sorry, I know this is off topic. But you know what I finally read the other day was. It was a graphic novel by Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo, or I don't really know how to say his name.
Yeah.
It was the Joker graphic novel.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard good things about it.
By the guys from 100 Bullets.
Yep.
And, yeah. Anyways, a very interesting take on the characters. It was like a gangster-style version of all the famous DC characters that we know and love.
Gangsta.
And like Killer Croc was like basically like nothing like the Killer Croc we know. He was like just kind of like this tough thug kind of guy.
Right, a guy with a wallet.
Yeah, kind of basically. Very interesting book. I know I was a little late in reading it, but I quite enjoyed it, by the way.
Excellent. But
Harley Quinn was a stripper.
No.
Yeah.
See, the DC shouldn't do that. I mean, I know that
she's basically a stripper in the new Suicide Squad comic. So,
yeah.
You know, so
fair
what
enough.
Is the difference, really?
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess you're right. But you know what? Great numbers for DC. But the interesting thing when I looked at the data a little bit more was the fact that, DC kind of – they still just edged Marvel in terms of dollar value for September, which was just amazing for me. So dollar value, like our dollars when we go and buy these comics at our local comic book store, 35.74% of our money went to DC, while 35.37% went to Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, how did Marvel pull this off? How did DC have the biggest coup of coups in terms of comic books?
Yeah.
And they made like 8 cents more than Marvel in September.
Yeah. So you're the comic book retailer. You know a little bit more about this than I do. Now, is that because of the price tag for Marvel Comics versus DC Comics?
I think it is. It's a combination of the two. It's a combination of there's a lot more 399s over at Marvel.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but I do believe Marvel shipped more than 52 titles.
Oh, sure,
in September as well.
And, you know, Marvel always has, you know, it would be interesting to see what the next 10 were, because I wonder if the next 10 were all basically Marvel titles. Cause, you know,
I don't think they were. I think they're still... What you're going to find Marvel is in those, like, you know, basically from, say, 40 to 150. Because this counts the 300 titles.
Right.
The top 300 comics. So, you know, I think that the new 52 hogged, you know, a lot of the upper echelons. Like,
right.
I'm sure.
But then
Marvel had just the bulk of that, you know, 27th, 29th, 31st, 32nd, 38th, 42nd.
They've got Wolverine and Spider-Man.
Right. They got 17 Wolverine titles,
right,
42
exactly.
Spider-Man titles, you know.
Yeah.
So they and but what's interesting, too, with this list is 9 of the 10 were number ones.
Right.
So even one of the two Marvel titles was the Ultimate Spider-Man
number one.
Yeah, number one. Now, so go ahead.
Sorry, the only thing I wanted to say about that is part of me really enjoys the fact that these are all number ones, because these are hopefully some of these people that are buying these number ones are going to be new readers and hopping onto comic books as a hobby, as something that they read and enjoy, as well as speculating. I understand there's a whole speculative market going on in this as well, but hopefully these readers will continue to buy the stuff and promote the industry.
Yeah, I hope so too. And then, you know what? But I think, you know, accidentally here, Chris, you and I, looking over this data, we figured out, you know, how to solve all of Comicdom's problems.
Absolutely.
Every month, there should be a number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what? Batman number one again.
I think they should.
And again.
They should just reboot every month.
Every month.
And then it'll all be number
one. Absolutely, number one. So it'd be 200,000 sales every month.
Well, it would certainly draw in a lot of speculators, that's for sure.
Right. Okay. Chris,
this is a great story.
Yeah, you sent this link to me about this guy, obsessed Superman fan, has cousin. No, it was actually Daniel.
Daniel Champion from London, England. Yeah.
I say, Daniel.
I say.
Thanks so much, old chap, for this comment.
He sent it to me, too.
Yes. So there's a guy in where is it? In the Philippines?
In the Philippines. So
yes.
Herbert Chavez, maybe I shouldn't have said his name, but it was on the news.
It's on the news, yeah.
From the Philippines, has drastically altered his appearance to look more like the Man of Steel Superman himself. So here's a guy that is obsessed with Superman. And they had photos of this guy.
Yes.
Of how obsessed he was. It was basically his rooms in this house were plastered with Superman, right?
I noticed he was a mint troll, by the way. He had everything still in the box.
Still kind of like
still
all
in the box.
Minty
and minty and plastic and stuff like that.
So here's a guy that is so into Superman, he decides to have physical augmentation to look more like Superman. Now, I'm not trying to be racial or prejudiced or anything like that, but he's of Filipino descent, so his natural the features, like, he's a little bit
darker,
Filipino looking. So
yeah.
His features are Filipino
South Asian.
Yeah, so he's got darker skin and everything, mm-hmm. So he has had of note, he had chin augmentation to give him the iconic the cleft chin.
Right, yeah, that cleft chin.
He
I love it.
Rhinoplasty to transform his Asian nose, I'm quoting this here, his Asian nose into one that closely resembles Christopher Reeve's nose.
Now, here you go. So what went through his head? Did he have Steve Reeves, Christopher Reeves, who's the new kid?
And I don't remember. I don't know what you mean.
The new guy, the new guy. Superman. Yeah. Did he have it, and did he pick the nose that he liked best?
Well, you mean really, he could have gone through all the comics, too, and be like,
Yeah, I like the John Byrne
like
Superman
John
nose.
John Byrne one's good.
The Swan nose.
Swan's really good. So he also had silicone injections to his lips to make them more fuller.
Right, I can understand that.
Yeah, not really, but anyways. and thigh implants.
That's the one that got me.
So, because he wants his legs to appear more muscular.
So
I mean, I've heard of women having like butt implants.
Yeah.
They give them a more rounded butt.
Right.
But you know, this is the first time I've ever heard of anybody having thigh implants to, like, why not just, work out.
Yeah, do like, some squats there, buddy. Come on.
So, you know what? I realize that there are a lot of fanatics out there about certain characters. I mean, hey, it's no secret that I like Power Girl,
right?
But I certainly would never transform myself.
But
into
you
Power Girl.
Never ever got implants. Thank God.
No, I never got implants.
Never got implants.
Like the way Power Girl did. Yes.
Right. That I've noticed.
I'd
anyway.
Have to get hair implants too. Really? In my head.
Right. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So this guy. I mean, at the end of the day, Chris, is he happy?
Well, maybe he is now.
Yeah.
Maybe he is now.
If he's happy and he's fulfilled in his life.
Maybe he'll find his Lois Lane.
Right. And maybe he'll star in some sort of Filipino Superman show or something like that and fulfill his life's ambition and dream.
He just might. You never know. Exactly. Maybe there'll be a Filipino version of Superman out there.
Right.
And he'll get cast as the lead character.
And Mr. Chavez, listen, we are not judging you in any way. Congratulations on your journey towards superdom. And thanks for the content.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's take a little musical interlude. And speaking of Superman, how about a little Jimmy Olsen song here for you?
Now who's the man behind the man, behind the mighty Superman? Oh, who's the guy he can rely on?
Right, Jimmy. the bad guys.
Who's the Western Cub reporter? Does everything a reporter oughta, except to marry Miss Delane's daughter, Lucy. That's me.
Timmy, Timmy
Boy. Wow, Chris, you know, the only thing I think about, you know, like, so this Mr. Chavez guy, you know, in the old days, they would have thought something was wrong with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would have went through some sort of shock therapy or something like that. The first thing, the only thing I thought of was they should just play this song for him.
that'd be torturous enough.
Yeah, and then I think he would turn around and not want to be Superman.
You know, listening to this, in the song, it mentioned that Jimmy Olsen had the nose for news.
Yes.
Well, clearly, you know, Mr. Chavez did not have the nose for Superman, so he had to change
around. Right. Oh, I get the connection. Connection there, Chris.
Hey-o.
Oh, all right. Witty. All right.
Oh, you're ever so witty.
Chris, Barnes & Noble is having a really bad dispute with DC. They're pissed. They're basically pissed. Barnes & Noble is the largest bookseller in the world, basically kind of brick and mortar.
705 retail stores.
In the United States. And those are those big, huge-ass box stores like Chapters here. Yeah. And Mr. Champion there mentioned the name of the one in England in an email to me, but I forgot it. I think let's call it Moneypenny.
Sure.
I say Moneypenny.
Oh, Moneypenny.
Anyway... DC signed exclusive with Amazon for the Kindle that $9.99 for the Watchmen and a couple other things.
Yeah.
So Barnes & Noble in retaliation are pulling from all their 705 stores the top 100 back issue DC graphic novels.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. You know what? If they decide they're going to hey, you know what, DC, if you're going to go in, and pull that with Amazon – piss on you, right?
See ya.
You know, like, see you later. Yeah.
Bugger off. Now.
But, you know, but here's the. Here's the thing. One thing that I did find interesting about that is that it appears that it's only the brick and mortar stores. BarnesandNoble.com is still offering The Watchmen at $10.87 as of right now.
I read that. And why the heck didn't that make news? So everybody's pissy on Amazon for going $9.99, and these guys snuck in a $10.87 without anybody looking.
More.
Yeah.
88 cents.
88 cents.
You can barely even buy a can of pop for that.
Oh, man. You 88 know? cents.
And they're all ticked off at Amazon for doing that, right? And
everybody
talks about Barnes & Noble.
Right.
But really, is this just a knee-jerk reaction because of what Amazon did? You know, is Barnes & Noble just did that because Amazon has it at $9.99? So they're just sort of trying to compete in some way?
Well, I don't know. The thing that puzzles me is why do these publishers go exclusive with the sellers?
Yeah.
And the reason I'll ask that is, that I know of, no seller has anywhere near the lion's share of the market.
No.
Whether it's like... remember in the old, like, what's her name? The Canadian jazz singer, Diana Krall, I believe it was. She ended up having an exclusive CD that you could only flip. I don't know why, but you can only buy at Starbucks.
Oh, right, right.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
So that's the only place you can initially get the CD. And so, or you can only get it at Amazon, or you can only get it at Barnes & Noble. I would understand if you know... 70% of sales are happening through this one avenue.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, there's no player that just is the dominant salesman any of these products that these publishers are making.
Yeah.
So why put all your eggs in one basket that's not even representative even of half the pie?
Because they think that they're going to get more money out of it. They think that there's going to be an exclusive offer because they're going to offer it at a better price. You know, I remember just a very quick history here of comic sales in Southern Ontario. There was a time when, actually in North America, I should say, there was a time when there was a bunch of different, you know, comic book distributors, and then DC went with one. I think it was, I can't remember, Mile High maybe, or I can't remember.
Capital maybe,
something like that. And then, and so Marvel decided to branch out on their own, and then that didn't work. So then they decided to, you know, tag on with Diamond, and then DC tagged on with Diamond, and so now all of a sudden everybody's with Diamond, and so now Diamond is basically the only distributor of comic books.
Right.
Whereas, you know, 20 years ago it wasn't that way. You'd have Andromeda and Capital and you know, all these other different types of distributors all over the place. So, you know, and it, clearly what I'm, my point is, it didn't work then when a company went exclusive. I don't see how it's going to work now.
Yeah. I honestly think it's the sellers that are driving, it's the sellers that are trying to make the deal, and the publishers are being short-sighted with these enticements. That's what I think. So for example, Amazon is trying to position themselves. So they come to DC with this sweet proposition, right? And DC falls for it because now Amazon is getting the prestige. But I don't know long-term whether DC is getting the bang for the buck by letting Amazon make this coup. You know what I mean?
It is a bit of a good point. I mean, when I buy stuff online as far as comics and – or not comics, but novels and movies and things like that, I do go to Amazon. I don't even think about going to Barnes & Noble.
Right.
You know, so, but I mean, Amazon has only ever had an internet presence. Whereas if I go to a store, if I lived in the States, I might think about going to Barnes & Noble, you know, whereas I would go to Chapters here or Indigo or something like that.
Well, Chris, hopefully you'd go to your local comic book shop.
For novels and movies.
If it was graphic novels.
For graphic novels and comics, I always come to my local comic book store.
Good for you.
Always.
All right.
But anyways, I think it might be a mindset that people are in right now.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's get to some good news, some really good news. The fighting is settled in this story.
Finally,
here.
The war is over.
The war is over. The Simpsons voice actors have taken a 30% pay cut, and they've signed on for season 24 and season 25 of The Simpsons.
Yeah. So initially Fox wanted them to take a 45% cut of their salary, but the actors. I don't know if the general public knows this, but the actors, as of right now, aren't getting any kind of
residuals.
Residuals, that's the word, from the TV show. So when it's played, you know, all over the world, they're not getting any money from that. So they're saying that, hey, you know what? For example, Harry Shearer said that he'd be willing to take a 70% cut if he was able to get a share of the residuals. But clearly, they weren't able to give that up. Fox wasn't, rather, and, you know, they're just going to get their money.
Listen, Mr. Shearer, crying over spilt milk as far as I'm concerned. Hey, buddy, you're a paid actor. You go do your job, say your voice, say your lines, right? They're giving you good money. You wouldn't have taken the job initially if it wasn't for the good money. All of a sudden, you know, 2 decades later, you realize how great it was, and now you want... you know, why aren't I getting a slice of the syndication thing? You know what I mean?
And let's not forget that they're already making $300,000 an episode.
They're making now, like after the pay cut, Chris.
Yeah.
After the 30% pay cut, these guys are making $300,000 an episode to do voice.
Roughly $400,000 before, right?
Right. Yeah. Chris, you and I do voice.
Yes.
We'll gladly do this show for $300,000 an episode.
Chief Wiggum.
Or I don't know any of the characters.
Apu.
Or Marge.
Yeah, you can be Marge. I'll be
Thank you.
They all say do.
Huh?
Nah, that's it.
Never mind.
Nah, don't worry about it.
Lost me.
Yeah. All right, anyway, let's keep going.
Let's keep going. So, hey, guys, be happy with what you got is my point there. Let's talk about Chris.
So speaking of digital copies.
Yes,
speaking of comics and internet and all that kind of stuff.
Speaking of it.
So, free digital copy of Avenging Spider-Man #1. Now, apparently, Marvel Comics has announced that it will offer redemption codes for a free digital copy with every print copy of Avenging Spider-Man #1 sold through the comic stores.
Yes.
So, if you go out to your local comic book store and you buy a copy of Avenging Spider-Man #1, you will get a code coupon type thing, and you'll be able to go online and have a digital copy of Avenging Spider-Man #1 as well for your computer. Now, of course, this is the idea here is that you will enjoy it so much you will continue to buy digital copies of Avenging Spider-Man as well.
Well, okay, but why would they as a reward? Because I read the article too, and it said, you know, they're offering more because it's a $3.99, only for the $3.99 titles from what I read. And so it's a way to add value to the $3.99. And right away, I'm thinking, okay, how are you adding value by having them read the same thing in a different format?
Well, this is the thing. I really don't understand what they should have done, really, instead of offering the same thing twice, because really it's like, hey, buy this, get it again.
Right, get it again.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
They should have offered like #2 digital
or something
like that.
Yeah.
Or buy Avenging Spider-Man number one, and you get Fear Itself number one online or something like that.
Or attach it to, like, maybe a lesser-selling title or something like that.
This just proves that, really...
What does it prove?
They should be conferring with us.
They should be.
What they should be doing.
Because, Chris...
How many times have we said this?
Chris, we are our industry insiders.
We really are.
And we are clearly in the know.
I don't understand why they don't confer with us. Just send me an email. I will gladly tell them what to do and where to go.
Yeah, I've you know what? Chris, if anybody can tell you where to go, it's Chris Owen.
All right, let's keep going here.
Now, along the same lines, Chris, I think we're going to talk about digital for the next few topics because it seems to be a topic of this week. Archie plans digital distribution for its new Crusaders line, which is a new, Archie Comics, of course, MLJ Group, Archie Comics go back to the late 30s, early 40s. They had a lot of superheroes.
Yeah, believe it or not,
Shield.
People didn't know this, but in the early years of comics, the Archie Comics group tried to actually put out a whole bunch of superhero comics as well, not just Riverdale type funny type stuff.
Right, and even in the 60s, they tried to resurrect the superheroes with their new Crusaders.
Yes,
and 2011, 2012, they are going back to try to do a new Crusaders line, basically a superhero line. And they are offering digital subscriptions for the new Crusaders, the new superhero line for Archie Comics. And you'll get, with that subscription, all the archival superhero stuff from Archie.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Now that's the way to do it. That's the way to entice people to buy these things. Now, you have to be a bit of a historian, a fan, I guess I should say, of Archie to kind of get the in-joke here. Because it says the original characters will be depicted... quote unquote, largely in retirement in a suburb called the Red Circle. Now, if you are familiar with Archie Comics in its heyday years ago, Red Circle was an imprint of its superhero comics way back in the 60s and 70s. And so it was kind of cool because they would have like the Shield and the Fly in the Red Circle comics. So it's kind of a little bit of a funny in-joke.
Right.
Gag.
This is Archie's way of putting Stan Lee in as a security guard.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Exactly right. All right. And then continuing on with this digital stuff, Chris, we have to talk about Day and Date Comics hitting a tipping point in terms of 40% or so of the new print comics released this week will also be released same date as a downloadable comic.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So now we've hold on. Comixology with an X. Comics with an X.
Yep.
Comixology, which does a lot of the downloadable comics, they have now included a lot of digital titles from Image, and so this has sort of pushed them over the critical mass era of now. Roughly 40% of new print comics are now being released by Comixology.
Right. Now, the question I have, and I'm sure this data is available, what are the hard numbers in terms of, so just of those 40, so we won't weight it to the ones that aren't available in digital. The same date and online ones, what's the proportion now and is it growing? Which way is it going? So in other words, of the 40% that you can buy on Wednesday today online or in your local comic book shop, what now is the percentage? Is it 95 print, 5 digital? Yeah. Is it 60-40? This is what we don't know. Yeah. This is the data I don't have. But
and even though they're being offered by Comixology, what's the proportion of people actually buying these
things? Right, right. That's the question I don't have with this article. But DC, when you read this article further, DC Comics has been emboldened.
Emboldened? Is that a word?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it is now.
All right.
By the fact that they offered, if you remember, same date digital on all their new 52, and their new 52 sales have just been flying through the roof
in brick and mortar shops. Marvel have taken that kind of cue when they offer Avenging Spider-Man, whatever it was. Was it Avenging?
Right.
Avenging Spider-Man, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes,
Avenging
it was.
Spider-Man number one. Why wouldn't they have taken that cue from DC to have something new and different, you know, and just say, hey, you know what, this is what DC is doing with their new 52, they're offering number ones. Let's be different. Let's be bolder. Let's offer something new, right?
Yeah. You know what? They one-upped us on this relaunch. Let's one-up them on the digital
exactly,
or something like that.
Let's start a whole new – you know what? Why they should start a whole new universe online. That's what they should do. They should relaunch the entire Marvel universe online.
You know what, Chris? You're right. You know, Marvel revolutionized that second within the home, within the imprint, within the Marvel company.
Yep. Yep.
Marvel was a forerunner back in 99-2000 with their Ultimate Universe.
Yes.
So the Ultimate Universe was an independent universe of the regular Marvel universe.
But not only that.
Now they can have a third universe that's just an online
digital
universe.
You know what? They revolutionized the Marvel, the comic book, in the 1960s with the way they wrote comic books.
Yes.
They revolutionized it in the 90s with their Ultimate line. Why not revolutionize it again with a digital line saying, you know, we're going to have an entirely new Marvel universe online only.
Just digital.
Yeah.
Right. Again,
exactly.
Chris, again, I'm not sure why they're not coming to us.
Know.
Actually, after that suggestion, I know exactly why they're not coming to us. Anyway, we're going to go on because we got so much to cover today.
We got a lot more to cover, not a whole lot of time here. So, animated series.
Let's run. Let's jog through this.
We won't. We won't do that.
Okay.
But you know what? Okay. So you know, I don't know if you're. I know you're familiar. You often talk about how your kids like the Sunday strips,
the Saturday funnies.
I read them as often as I can. Pooch Cafe is by a local guy named Paul Gilligan.
Don't Gilligan!
Skipper! Anyways, despite his the last name, he has a very successful cartoon strip called Pooch Cafe.
I read it every week.
Yeah, it's actually very funny.
Yes, very
funny.
Recently,
he went back and kind of did the origins of the main character. I thought it was very funny. And anyways, so it looks like Pooch Cafe is going to be made into an animated film.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Fantastic.
Pooch Cafe.
Here's a guy that went to Sheridan College close to us and lives in Toronto. And
you know what? He's good. I think he went to Sheridan with our last week's guest,
yeah,
didn't he not?
A good friend of life.
Right.
Good friend
life
of life. Peng.
Yep.
And it said here in our little blurb that his art began in 1970 in kindergarten when he realized that he was bad at sports. And his only other option for impressing girls was artwork.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what?
Good for him.
You know what?
Here's a guy that, you know, loved Mad Magazine and Bloom County and stuff like that. And all of a sudden he goes to Sheridan College for animation, ends up having his own syndicated comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to have an animated series. I think that's fantastic.
Good for him. Local boy makes good. Yep. So that's the Pooch Cafe. Excuse me. Just Google Pooch Cafe, P-O-O-C-H Cafe, and enjoy his work.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, let's keep going here. Speaking of local talent,
yeah,
we've got recently in the Toronto Star, one of the they did an interview with a bunch of local creators who have been working on the new 52.
Right. So there's a Southern Ontario connection, like a core of creators in Southern Ontario that are very involved in the new 52. And the Toronto Star caught up with these three guys.
Yes.
And basically did a little interview with them and talking to who did they get?
They got Francis Manipul, Jeff Lemire, and Ken Lashley.
Ken Lashley. Jeff Lemire, Francis Manipold. Linchpins, really, of
well, yeah, you know
the
what?
New
Jeff
52.
Lemire was doing Superboy for a long time before the new 52. Now he's doing Animal Man and Frankenstein. Francis Manipul he's been done everything. He's done all kinds of different things. But now he's co-writing The Flash.
Yep.
And Ken Lashley, again, another guy who's been around for forever. He did The Flash. He's done JLA. He's done all kinds of different comics in the past 10 years, or probably even more than that now. But yeah, it's great that these guys are in the local guys doing well for the industry in Southern Ontario.
And what I like about these three guys, these I mean, they're local talent, and I'm sure that and the great thing about comic creators and the great thing about this story, and that they made themselves available to the local press. But anywhere in basically the world, maybe England, North America for sure, every little kind of large population center, like let's say New York area, San Francisco area, LA area, they're all going to have their kind of hub of creators that are involved with stuff.
Yeah.
all from what I understand and from what I've read and from all my experiences, all these guys are very humble guys, yeah, and they're very supportive of local comic,
yeah,
book stores.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Francis Manipul, we're working on getting him into,
yeah,
our shop, and
Jeff,
Jeff Lemire has been in our
here.
Shop. Ken wants to come to
Ken
our shop.
Has often said he'll be here, yeah.
So and anywhere you go, local comic book creators, yeah, I mean they're internationally known now. There's some of them are superstars now internationally.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is that some of these guys are actually known worldwide, and mm-hmm. yet they still have this appeal, like, you know, they're just the local kid, right?
Yeah,
you
they're
know?
The local guy, and then they yeah. go to their local shop and they'll do local signings, yeah, not only at their local shop, but any shop basically that they can drive comfortably to within, yeah, an hour or two and stuff. They'll gladly give up their Saturday or Sunday.
Anywhere beyond that local, like, it's funny, the way we, the only thing I don't always like about that is the way we treat our local guys is we don't always treat them the way we should. We treat them like they're local guys, whereas sometimes we should be treating them like they're, you know, superstars, really, because mm-hmm. if they went anywhere else in North America, they would be, have, like, lineups out the door.
Right.
Right? You know,
you're
like
right.
Huge lineups, like, just frothing at the mouth to get, you know, their signature kind of things.
Right.
And then they come here and we just treat them like,
oh, hey, it's Jeff Lemire. Yeah, he was here last year. Yeah,
yeah, hey,
whatever.
You want a beer, you know, like,
yeah,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of those guys is that they're not offended when they're not treated by
right, yeah,
as a superstar, right?
You excellent.
Know, treated, as long as you treat them with some respect, they love it, right?
All right.
Let's take a quick you know, musical interlude here, because you know what, those guys, they're our friends, and not only would I say they're our friends, I would say that they're our super friends.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, Superman, Batman and Robin, the Wonder Twins, and the Justice League of America, the most powerful forces of good ever assembled. These are the Super Friends.
Well, that was ended pretty quick.
Jeez. our super friends.
Sorry about that.
All right, Chris.
Okay.
Anyway, listen, we are in the last part of our show, and the next segment of our show is brought to you by your local comic book shop, your source for all your spooky comic book needs just in time for Halloween.
Yes. You know what? Halloween is upon us. I noticed that you're wearing your Halloween costume today.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah,
yeah,
you know what? It's my Chris Owen look. Thank you.
I see you've gained a few pounds.
Right. Hey, Chris, so did you see the new Avengers trailer?
I did. It's awesome. I loved it. I thought, I was excited that there's already a trailer. This is only October, and this movie's coming out in May of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a trailer for this movie, so I'm excited that they're already, you know, well into production. There's lots of great scenes already. So far, it looks like Robert Downey Jr. has a big role in it. I mean, obviously he would, but it seems like he's kind of like a more than just a big role.
Well, he's like the Spidey. He's the wisecracker in this one. If you watch the – just go online and just – click the new Avengers trailer, and there'll be a whole bunch of them. And click it, and you'll notice that he gets all the kind of comic relief lines, the snazzy one-liners, the end, you know, the punchlines. They're giving them to Robert Downey Jr. You know, some of these scenes may not even make final cut in the movie. You know,
right? So far in the trailer, I've seen Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, and at the very end, you see the Hulk.
So, yes, yes.
So far, you're seeing sort of the core group of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
There was a mention.
There was a Hawkeye.
Hawkeye
yeah.
was there, and Ant-Man was there, because they talked about, I think they
really, I didn't see Ant-Man. He must have been.
He was really tiny.
Right.
Yeah, I know. They briefly talked to Hank Pym. No, wasn't it Hank Pym? No, somebody else. Maybe I'm making it up in my mind.
Hank Aaron.
No, maybe they were talking to somebody else. Sorry.
Right.
I forget I just said that.
Okay.
But anyways, it looks awesome. Looks really cool. And you got to go online.
Yeah, check it out online. It's very exciting. And listen, it's the movie event that we're all anticipating for 2012. So we're very excited. Okay, Chris, because we're running out of time.
We are running out of time.
We basically have
five minutes.
Yeah, so. Last piece for show four.
So we're doing the previews. Now, every month we like to check out the previews here.
Previews, October October 2011 previews. Of course, Previews is the magazine. If you head into your local comic book store, they'll have a stack of them there. And the October previews is the catalog that you order your stuff that comes out in...
Yeah, so even the retailers order the stuff from.
Yeah, in December,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the stuff in your October previews hits your local comic book shop
in December. Is this December or January?
No, October, it's December.
Oh, December, right. Yeah. Okay. So now every month we like to go through previews and just talk about stuff that we find is either a little funny or a little odd, because there's a number of different articles and, sorry, pieces of things for sale that are offered by previews. And this one, you know, the one, I don't know if Walt's chose the one that's kind of bland. I got to tell you, I'm not too keen on the one that he chose. I'm sorry.
Well, your lack of taste is puzzling. But, yeah, the back of the book is always the exciting part of the previews. That's where you kind of get your little tchotchkes and trinkets and stuff like that. And if you go to page 414 of the October previews, you'll see the Spider-Man 27-inch stainless steel water bottle.
Okay, is that a water bottle in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Right. And you know what the good part about that is? It's not only used for water. You can fill, like, Diet Coke.
Right.
You can fill Ryan Coke.
Oh, even better.
You can fill, like, the 27-ounce. That's, now, like, that's a couple pints of beer.
What would Spider-Man drink? What would he keep in there?
Some sort of...
web-slinging
stuff? Yeah, web-slinging stuff, I'm sure. Maybe he just uses it for, like, a restock of the that sticky stuff that I found on the table
web-slinging
stuff.
Yeah,
before we got here there. But what I liked about this is, so, okay, you know, you have this, say, you know, you buy it for your kid or something like that. And, you know, this is, I guess, the warning I want to give. Don't buy this for your kid if he plays on sports or something like that.
You know what's going to happen if a kid has that? That's going to become a weapon. That's going to become bashed into the side of the next kid's head.
Right.
Especially when it's full of water.
Well, I'm not so much worried about that, because you can teach your kids not to do that. I'm worried about the ridicule, and, like, basically it's a license to beat your kid up if he brings that in. Because,
you think so?
You know, oh, yeah, everybody's got those little plastic water bottles
right,
that you squeeze
right,
and you get the water come out. And your poor schmo kid has, you know, like, some sort of little Spider-Man invented. Oh, look at little
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, look at little Spidey over here on the corner.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if times are changing. Maybe they would think it was cool now, no?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So don't buy your kid that, but definitely buy it for yourself at work.
Okay, well, you know what? I decided to choose actually, there's two things I've noticed here. It seems
Why do you get to pick two?
Well, just hold on a second.
Okay,
here.
I'm just saying.
It seems to be a Mr. Potato Head overload here.
Oh.
Because not only do we have Star Trek Mr. Potato Head characters, we've got Spock and Uhura playset. So you get to have Spock and Uhura dressed up as Mr. Potato Head's dressed up as Spock and Uhura. That is being offered this year. Although I've just already noticed that being offered as well as Spock and Uhura, you have the Mr. Potato Head Kiss 2011 collector set. And not only can you get the Kiss set, offered again is the Elvis Presley Mr. Potato Head. So if you're a Mr. Potato Head fan, this is like you can get Elvis, all the Kiss characters, and Spock and Uhura.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and the great thing about Mr. Potato Head is you can enjoy your potatoes without the starch.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And you know what I also like about the all these coming out at the same time is, you know, you can finally see Gene Simmons making out with Uhura.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
All right, Chris. That is all the time we have for the show, thankfully. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and enter your comments in the comments field. And also listen to us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, never leave home without your bat shark repellent.
No. And please, please support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a wonderful day.